Okay, good morning. So today's topic, page 119, an interesting question specifically focused. Although we kind of touched on some of these things, this is a very interesting angle, especially the last component of it. And that is, what about a parent who is in fact abusive? Is one obligated to honor such a parent? So if you take a look on page 119, we know that when it comes to, there's two components, there's kibud and there's mora. There are two different components. Would both these components be in place when it comes to an abusive parent? That's the question. Now, obviously, you know, every no parent's perfect, you know, every parent makes mistakes. We're talking about an extreme situation. So if you take a look on page 121, the bottom right-hand corner, the Shulchan Aruch rules in accordance with the Rambam that the son is obligated to honor his wicked father despite his lack of repentance. Meaning, even if a parent, you know, refuses to do tshuva, nonetheless, the Rambam says you're obligated to respect to honor such a parent. So remember, there's two components. There's kavod, and then there's also yira, right? And the Rambam says that a child is obligated still in kibud avim. The Ramah says that if the father has not repented, hasn't done tshuva, then the son is not obligated to honor, which is based on the Tosfos. The Aruch HaShulchan holds out the Ramah, stating that most poskim hold this way. He points out that the term wicked applies only when the transgressor violates the transgression repeatedly and not just once. Wow. That being said, the Maharik deals with the situation where the father's request not to marry a woman that he wishes. So a guy wants to get married, and his father's like, I don't want you to marry her. Maharik concludes that he does not have to listen to his father. Three reasons, and you'll see why these are going to be very important. Number one, there's no obligation to pay a monetary price, and certainly not an emotional one. Again, we touched on these things, but the Maharik says that we know that the halacha is that when you have to honor a parent, the money can come from the actual parent, right? The son is not obligated to pay for the expenses of honoring one's father. If he must feed his father, father must supply the money to buy the food. It stands to reason that if the son is not obligated to pay the monetary costs, then all the more so is not obligated to pay a personal price that at times is worth more than money. For example, to marry a woman he isn't interested in marrying and the like, right? The son is not obligated to pay an emotional price and suffer personal harm. Therefore, maybe you have a kavu chomer that the Marik's reasoning to our case that a son definitely did not become sick in order to honor his father. Why would a person become sick? He becomes sick because, you know, I'm not allowed to marry that person. That's going to make me psychologically, emotionally ill if my father does something like that. So perhaps if that's the case, if you're not allowed to be emotionally abusive as a parent. And again, you have an obligation to get married, so the father basically by saying no. And so this really becomes an issue in therapy. This comes up, unfortunately, not much more common than you think. Because what happens in therapy? I go to a therapist, and as Freud tells us, all of our problems are caused because of our mother, right? Or our father, right? Let's say if someone has to go to therapy, can you tell a therapist about issues that you're having with a parent that potentially could lead to a lack of kibud avim? This is a very serious question. So this is page 123. Again, connects to an abusive parent. Obviously, if you just want to tell you...
Does it have to do with your emotional state and how you're going to fare? You're just psychological and emotional abuse and trauma. I mean, that's like straight out of my wheelhouse.
Right, right, exactly. This is a serious issue, right? It's an emotional...
It's health,
right? It's exactly. This is health related. So here we go. So page 123. A large clinical considerations in psychological therapy. Right, considerations, that's very important. So in the next paragraph, can you go to a therapist and talk to about your parents? A large portion of the problems, difficulties, emotional pathologies of children emanate from and are attached to the behavior of their parents during psychotherapy, and a therapist attempts to help the child, and the adult for that matter, to understand, identify, and recognize the hidden feelings and conflicts, the difficult reactions have developed as a result of this, and to express these feelings to deal with, right? Sometimes the parent, let's say, wasn't emotional enough, emotive enough, right? The parents were very callous, the parents were very tough. Often that can have, we know that can have a tremendous psychological impact on the child. So here we go, just therapy intervention such as this Kavala Falacha, right? So what does he say? Flip the page. Is it an issue of, you know, it's a violation. The goal of therapy was that she would stand up to the inappropriate and healthy behavior of the father in a consistent and beneficial manner, and to direct her anger and her realistic objections outwardly and not at herself. Meaning, proper therapy, you could actually help and you could enhance the relationship with the parents, right? With practical encouragement from the therapist, the patient began to stand up to her father's attempt at getting close to her. She became more used to standing up for herself, spent less time at home, and became more aware of her anger and learned to express this anger aloud, to reveal her hidden and pent-up anger and hate towards her father during therapy and outside the therapist's office. Well, Zilberstein's basic answer was that when we discuss professional and serious therapy that is done for the person's benefit, not only is it permissible, but it's a mitzvah to save the child from abuse. So again, we're talking about a very serious abuse case. What was the problem? We're talking about mamash pikuach nefesh, helping this kid out. It's very important to manage the anger, to manage the frustration. That could be an important thing. And again, he bases it on what we read before. Now, however, this is important. The Rav Melamed, you might know, right, the author of Pinei Halacha, he says, here, if you skip over to the right where it says answer. If the therapy, whether it caused the worsening of the relationship of honor and fear between the son and parent, this type of therapy might be forbidden, infringes on the commandment of honoring your parents. Additionally, if we were certain that the therapy would be beneficial psychologically, it would be prohibited. So, interesting, we see here that Rav Melamed takes a very strict approach on this. On this matter. That being said, others, in fact, disagreed with him. This is not talking about a case. Everyone agrees that in an abusive case, for sure, you'd be allowed to. The question is going to be, what about if, you know, there's some challenge that a person is dealing with and needs to discuss this with a therapist? So the conclusion actually is, if you go down to in this Rav Nachum Ravinovitz, there's like a quotation mark here. If the therapy will cause the worst relationship, that's an issue. However, we are discussing an unhealthy relationship, and the therapist's goal is to heal this relationship and restore the proper honor that the child should feel towards the parent. That would actually, if it's beneficial to that relationship, that would be totally fine. If we're humiliating the father, if humiliating a parent, that would be an issue. But if the goal is to, in fact, heal the relationship, then it would actually be okay. And you'd be surprised, unfortunately, this does come up as well. Okay, that's the end of the topic of Kibbut Avaim. The last topic in this booklet that we're going to do, well, no, I shouldn't say this booklet, in this part, is what we're going to do is Hilchot Talmud Torah. Okay? New topic today. Here we go. Page 129. Amar Rava. V'sha shemachnisim Adam ledin, omrim lo, then a person enters the heavenly tribunal at the age of 120. This is a very, very, very famous Gemara. The age of 120. What is the person told? Nasata v'natata b'emuna. Did you deal faithfully in business? Kavata itim haTorah. Did you establish set times for Torah? Asakta b'piriv v'rivir. Did you engage in having children? Sipita l'Yeshua. Did you wait for salvation? Pilpalta b'chachma. Did you deal with, you know, wisdom? Avanta davar mitoch davar. Did you try to figure out one matter and another matter? This is a well-known statement that's found in the Gemara. Obviously, we're going to highlight a couple things here. One is you deal faithfully in business, which is a very nasata v'natata b'muna. Were you an honest worker, right? Did you try to cheat your customers? Were you faithful? That's very important. Okay, that's not our topic. But the second one is our topic, and that is, did you establish set times for, interesting, not did you learn all day, but the language of the Gemara is, do you have set times to learn? 6 o'clock in the morning, that's my set time, right? That's when I learn, right? Because that's the question that we are asked. Look at Rashi. Kavata itim, right? Remember the famous line, kavata itim, this is where it comes from. This is the source. Rashi. Fisha Adam tzarech litasek v'derech eretz. A guy has to work. She'im ein derech eretz in Torah. Says Rashi, there's no derech eretz, there's no Torah. Hutzrach likboa itim latorah davar katzuv. You have to have set times, right? Because you got to work. Shelo yimashech kol yom aderech eretz. So you don't spend the whole day working. So you got to set times for learning Torah. Okay. Just the other thing is Svitol Yeshua, Rashi holds, is the Divrei Nevi'im, meaning probably referring to the Geula, the ultimate redemption. Havadah B'toch Devar is referring to the type of intellectual pursuit, which we know is important. Okay, the question is the million-dollar question is how much are we obligated to learn, right? The million-dollar question, how much are we obligated to learn? So this is the Gemara in Brachos, which again, I'm sure some of you are familiar with, source number 3. This is worth all doing inside. Torah Banan. Fasafta deganecha. What do we say in Shema? We'll say it in a few minutes. That you gather your grains. It says in the Torah, you're going to gather your grains. Okay. Matu lomar. What is this referring to? After all, fishinem mar lo yamush, sever teresa mi picha, vigita bo yaman valayla. This pasuk in Yoshua, which seems to say you need to learn Torah day and night, right? Lo yamush. You're not allowed to. You can't depart. You're not allowed to separate learning Torah. So, Yechol Dun Kichtavan? Is it possible that these words should be taken as they're written? After all, Tumud Lamar, Fasaf Deganacha, you have to gather your grain. Hanheg Behemida Derecheretz. You need to work, explains Rabbi Shema. Meaning, if the Torah says you're going to gather your grain, I don't know how I'm going to gather my grain. Don't I have to be learning day and night? How does the Torah tell me I'm going to gather my grain at the appropriate time if I'm learning? Am I supposed to go to the fields? You know what it takes to gather grain? How much work you have to put into it? Right? But tremendous amount of work to gather your grain. But I'm supposed to be learning day and night. So it explains Rabbi Shmuel. He says, Vasata de ganacha, hanheg behemida derech eretz. That you should find time in order to find time to work, explains Rabbi Shmuel. Next, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, Efshar adam chores b'shat charisha. If a guy goes and plows during the plowing season, zareya b'shat zriya, and seeds during the planting season, v'kotir shaktsira, and harvest during the harvest season, v'dash, and a guy threshes, zareya, and he winnows, v'shas ruach, Torah mati Allah. I understand. If a guy's going out there, you know what it takes to gather your grain? It literally every season, again, the agricultural world, every season you're busy. So then, what about Torah? You're working all the time. Ella. So again, this is the second opinion. This is Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Ela bizman shi Yisrael osin ritzono shel makom. When Jewish people are doing what God wants, malachta nasa al yedei acherim. Very simple. We will not have anything. Other people do it for us. Maybe in the modern world, they're called robots. We'll be automated. We'll click a button, and magically our fields will be planted and harvested and plowed and threshed and everything. As it says, "Vamdu zarim v'ra'u tzonchem uvenei nechai yikarechem v'charmechem." It'll be done. Other people do it for us. Ubizman she'ein Yisrael siyum rezonos shemakom. And there's people who are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Malach tanase atzman. We have to work ourselves, as it says, "Vasafta deganecha." So the pasuk in Shema explains Rabbi Shmuel is what? A curse. It's a curse that we have to do all this work. It means we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. But ideally, who's going to be doing it for us? Others. Why? Because we're doing the will of God. Not only that, but not only you have to do your work, when things are really bad, you're going to have to do their work as well. Amar Abaye, and listen to this statement. Harbe asu k'Rabbi Shmuel. Many people did like Rabbi Shmuel said. What did Rabbi Shmuel say?
Work all day.
Work. V'al tabi it was successful. And many people K'Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai velo al tav yadan, and they were not very successful. Now, successful in what? So it's actually understood they were not successful in their Torah study. Okay, that's an important point. Look at the top page 131. According to this Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel holds that one should work in order to earn a livelihood and should not study Torah full time. By contrast, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai seems to hold that one must study Torah full time at the expense of earning a living by working the land, since otherwise there'll be no remaining time for Torah study. Right? He claims that if the people collectively follow the Torah, they will merit that others assist them in earning a livelihood. Abaye then seems to adopt the position of Rabbi Shmuel, where he notes that many people were not successful in supporting themselves through the method of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. However, the Gemara in Menachos appears to present the same Tanaim as having the opposite opinion. Source number four, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishum Bar Yochai, Afil lo kra adam ela kriyashma, Shachris v'arvis kiem lo yamush. Look at, so we know we have a pasuk in Yeshua that says lo yamush sefer Torah zemipicha. You can't remove, you can't cease learning Torah. You know how you fill the mitzvah? If you say Kriyat Shema in the morning and at night, guess what? It's lo yamush sefer zemipicha. What do you do? So what do you do? You said Shema in the morning and night. That's essentially ongoing. You fulfill the mitzvah morning and night. Which, by the way, as we're going to see in a minute, that will be the bare minimum, as we're going to see. And the conclusion is, what's the bare minimum of Talmud Torah? Will be Shema. It's one of the reasons why we say Shema twice a day is to fulfill the bare minimum of Lo Yemush Sefer HaTorah Zemipicha. V'Yigisa Bo Yom HaValayla. What's Yom HaValayla? A taste of Yom HaValayla, which is Shema. However, V'Rav Amar... Oh, sorry. Davar Zeh Asur Lo'omro Bifnei Amaretz. You were to tell people you could fulfill the mitzvah of Lo Yamush by saying Shema, don't tell the average Joe Shmo that. Because what's going to happen? Wait a second. Why am I here at 6 in the morning? Why am I here at 6 at night? Forget it. I can fulfill it by saying Shema way better. Don't tell people. The Rav Amar, mitzvah Lo Amro. No, tell people you can still fulfill this ideal of Yeshua by just saying Shema twice a day. Sha'al ben Dima ben Achazor Shal Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel. Kegon Ani. What about me? Shalamardi kol haTorah kula. Mahu lulmor chachma yivanis. I know the entire Torah. Can I go learn, you know, Greek wisdom? Exactly what he's referring to is an interesting question. What?
Universe.
Yeah, universe. Some type of, you know, non-Torah type of thing. You know, philosophical thought maybe. Kara alav hamikra hazeh. They told him this pasuk. Too bad. Can't study. Go find time. That's not their night. And go learn Greek wisdom. Okay. So what's complicated here is exactly Greek wisdom is probably not exactly what we thought. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on it. But we see from here that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of just day by learning Torah day and night. You might be able to hit the bare minimum. And again, we seem to be have a conflict between what's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. They seem to argue two different positions. So how are we supposed to understand what the conclusion is? On this is a Mishnah Perkei Avos, source 5. Rabbi Gamliel ben Osho, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer. Yafet Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. Wow, how beneficial, how wonderful it is to have Talmud Torah with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz always means work, by the way. It doesn't mean midos, right? She gives us shnehem mishkach hasavon. Because if you actually work and you engage in both of them, it will avoid sin. V'chol Torah she'ni mamlacha. Anytime you learn Torah and there's no work with it, sofa batla. It'll be nullified. Meaning, the Torah will be the Goreris Avon. And anytime you have Torah without work, it will cause the Torah to be forgotten and even lead to sin. Why? We don't know. We don't have a reason. We'll get there in a second. Perkei Avos, we see another statement. Imin kemach in Torah. For your father, this is literal, right? There's no flower, there's no Torah. Imin Torah in kemach. If there's no Torah, there's no flower. Imin kemach in Torah, says the Vilna Gaon. What do we see from here? The Vilna Gaon said, what do you mean if there's no kemach, there's no Torah? Meaning, look, that's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. It's a Gemara in Brachos. That's what this Mishnah is referring to. Without the ability to earn a living, how in the world are you going to learn Torah? How are you going to eat? How will you feed yourself? Okay, so these two Mishnahs, Berak Yavos, seem to be highlighting the fact how important and valuable and necessary it is to earn a living. Source number 8 in Perkei Avos seems to be saying maybe something else. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana Omer, Kol Makabal Lav Ol Torah, Mavrin Mimenu Ol Machus V'Ol Derech Eretz. A person who accepts the burden of Torah, I will accept the burden of Torah day and night, we remove from this person the burden of the government, probably some type of army duties or government duties that they make you do, and the burden to earn a living of derech eretz. If you remove yourself the burden of Torah, we put back on you the burden of the government matters and the derech eretz, probably referring to work of some sort. That's exactly from the Gaon says. Look at 9. So again, from the Gaon is saying, yes, that's the opinion of Shem Bar Yochai. What is the opinion of Shem Bar Yochai? If you accept the all of Torah, we will protect you. Somehow you'll figure out how to make a living. On this, which is very important, how can we resolve these contradictions? Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanevsky, known as the Great Stipler, suggest the following principle in his Hilas Yaakov that can help answer the question. The minimal amount necessary to fulfill the obligation of daily Talmud Torah is reciting Shema twice a day. However, one is obligated to study as much as one is capable every day with no maximum amount given. So on this, we generally have this concept. There's the minimum and there's a maximum. Your Yotze, the minimum of Kriyat Shema, minimum of Talmud Torah with Kriyat Shema. The maximum is you have an ability to study it day and night. Look at source 10 at the bottom, just for that bolded section. V'chem yisas Talmud Torah. There's no shir of Torah. There's no like, okay, when it comes to lulav, there's a shir. When it comes to how much matzah you gotta eat, there's a shir. There's a requirement. There's an amount. Torah, there's no amount. Mimela achiyufu kefi yecholto. Depends on the person. Some people have an ability to study more. Some people have an ability to study less. You can sit, some people can sit on the tuchus longer, some people can sit on the tuchus not as long. V'alzman shehu anus milumod. If a person is anus, right, a person who just doesn't have the ability to learn, ain't a biglal mevatal mitzvah. Don't so. He's not like he's being mevatal, he's wasting his mitzvah. Nullifying a mitzvah. Ela zeg vochivo. That's it. That's all he can do. Meaning, every human being, right, and Everyone, you have to realize, what, you're not supposed to eat? Meaning, is if I eat lunch, is that built to Torah? If I'm sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning, is that built to Torah? Right, you're going to say it's built to Torah. How can you say it's built to Torah? Right? A person has to have to figure out how much are they capable of doing. Now, this is not for now. Everyone, you know, what does capable mean? What does pushing oneself mean? What is being honest with yourself? How much sleep, you know? Do you really need 17 hours of sleep, right? Do you really need 17 hours of sleep? Maybe you don't. Maybe you only need 15 hours of sleep, right? Shu ad kama shef shalom. Rak perek echad shachris u perek echad arvis chiyuvo kavua u barur. At the morning and the night, there's one thing that's crystal clear. That's v'gisa b'yom v'layla. K'sheya anus mi perek zeh. If you're not able to study at this moment, you're not saying Shema, that's a problem. You must say Shema twice a day. It's not just it's a chiyuvah based on Pesukim and Chumash. It's a fulfillment of mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
Then why do we lay on Monday and Thursday if we already have the fulfillment?
Right, so laying on Monday and Thursday had nothing to do with the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It has to do with the market days. And since there were the market days, people would come to the market and everyone had a minion. Since everyone had a minion at the market, they wanted to up the ante and give people an opportunity to do Talmud Torah Barabim. So that's the fulfillment of Talmud Torah Barabim, where Shein Shema privately is Talmud Torah Diyachim. Okay, let's end there for today, since it's 27. And we're going to see really, really, these are really interesting discussions on Talmud Torah. And you're going to feel the tension. You're going to feel the struggle over the next few sources. And then after that, we'll deal with, well, what should you learn? What do you spend time learning? Really interesting discussion that I think is very practical and relevant to our lives.